You know, throughout our time doing COVID-19, I've seen a lot of signs, and some of them been like, hey, a hero lives here, or our essential workers are our heroes. And throughout that, I've observed that, and today I want to talk to you about becoming a hero and how we can be a hero. If you are one of those who are an essential worker, if you are a first responder, if you are working in the police department, the medical profession, we want to say we greatly are thankful for what you do, and everyone should say amen. Come on, give me a hand. That's right. We appreciate what you do, and I want to talk to you about how we can become or be heroes in the culture that we live, because I happen to believe that we live in a world that desperately and deeply needs heroes. Hero is defined as somebody who commits an act of remarkable bravery, who has shown an admirable quality, such as great courage or strength of character. I don't know about you guys, but that's me when I was a kid, by the way. I don't know about you, but I happen to believe that Jesus was an amazing hero. There ought to be a huge amen. Jesus was an amazing hero. The things that he did for us, the things that we achieve and become because of what he did is nothing more than heroic. You think about Jesus' life, you think about Jesus' death, you think about Jesus' resurrection. There's nothing like that that is not heroic. In fact, Jesus' resurrection, in my opinion, is kind of like Superman overcoming kryptonite. Maybe it's kind of like Underdog, who, when he takes the super energy pill, all of a sudden he has great power. Or maybe kind of like Brutus, who Popeye, after he's been beaten up by Brutus, all of a sudden he eats the spinach. Now, some of you go, man, dude, I have no idea who you're even talking about. That's because I'm old. But Jesus is an amazing hero, and we should be like him. And I want to ask you to do something for me, if you would. Would you just look at somebody and say, you are supposed to be like Jesus. Come on. You are supposed to be like Jesus. You're supposed to be like Jesus. In fact, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he says this: therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be imitators of God. In other words, we are representatives of God. Paul writes to the people of Rome and says that we are ambassadors, but we should be people who seek to emulate and be like Jesus. In fact, John, writing in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it may be a little bit different because it's the New Living Translation, but John pens it this way. He says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, because we can face him with confidence. How many are glad we can face God with confidence? And he says, why? Because we live like Jesus here in this world. And if Jesus' life was heroic, we who are imitators of God, we who seek to live like Jesus in the world, ought to be heroes. And so I want to use HERO as an acronym today, and using it as a way of, I hope, challenging us to become and be heroes. And I have to say that as I share the message today, many of you, this is already going to be applicable in your life because you're already heroes, and so it's going to resonate with you. You're going to go, that's absolutely true. And so some of you, I'm going to be preaching, as they say, to the choir, so that means I need to see you here. You go, amen? In fact, in the old days, some of you remember the hankies? Come on, some of you can be out there. Yeah, that's it, come on. Heroes. Letter H, heroes help. Webster's Merriam Dictionary defines help this way: to give assistance or support to make more pleasant or bearable, to be of use to. I mean, we should be of use to God and his kingdom. Just a couple of weeks ago, I happened to be at Costco just up the road getting some fuel, and I'm gassing up my car, and I happen to look over a couple aisle ways, and there's an elderly lady with 2 6-gallon gas cans. She's got them on the cement or the asphalt, and she's filling them up. And I'm thinking, those are going to be heavy. And so I walk over to her, and she finishes up. I walk over and said, "Ma'am, would you mind if I put those in the back of your vehicle for you?" She was like, "Sure." Can I just tell you, in that moment, I was a hero. In fact, some of you remember Larry the Cucumber. I am that hero. Heroes help. Heroes are able to be used by God to make a difference because we're supposed to be like Jesus. And I have to say to you that Jesus was a huge help to my life. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says this. He says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." That would be like, praise God. Praise God, because I couldn't help myself. But Jesus, my hero, came in and helped me by dying in my place. Paul, again, writing to the people of Rome in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Again, it may be a little bit different because it's the NIV Reader's Version, but it goes this way. "Everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. The free gift of God's grace makes all of us right with Him. Jesus," or Christ Jesus, "paid the price to set." Anyway, we need to be like Jesus, who was an amazing hero and who helped our lives. We're called to be like Him. You might be going, "Well, who should I help? What difference? How can I help?" In fact, the book of Luke, chapter 10, Jesus encounters an expert in the law. Some of you will remember that encounter that Jesus had with this man. And Jesus teaches him in that moment who his neighbor ought to be. And it says in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, it says this. "In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have.' Which of these three do you think helped?" Actually, the term is neighbor. Which of these three you think was a neighbor, the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of law replied, "The one who had mercy on him," or "the one who helped." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We're called to help. Being a neighbor, Jesus says, is someone who sees the need and helps. So heroes help. Back to the book of Colossians. Hope you're taking notes because we're going over a lot of verses of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." I'm going to ask you, are you helping expand the kingdom? If you are, how? Be specific. How are you making a difference? Are you helping your employer's business succeed? Are you helping at the home in which you live? Are you helping Brighton AG fulfill its purpose? How? Some of you say, well, by praying. Well, thank the Lord, because that is definitely helping. By giving. By serving. How am I helping the kingdom expand? Heroes help. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, we who are strong or have strong faith should help the weak with their problems. We should not only please ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. None of you should look out just for his own good. You should also look out for the good of others. Heroes help. You don't need X-ray vision. All you need is to open your eyes and look at the needs around you. E, heroes not only help, but letter E, heroes are empowered to make a difference. I'm just here to say to you, I am Pentecostal to the bone. I happen to believe that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is something that we absolutely need in our lives, because this is the empowerment to make a difference. In fact, the term empowered means to equip or supply with an ability, to enable. Jesus wants the world around us to understand that repentance and forgiveness of sin is made available, but just like Popeye needed spinach to overcome Brutus, you and I need the baptism in the Holy Ghost to be empowered to make a difference. There ought to be like some applause right there. We are Pentecostal people. I happen to believe that we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Amplified Bible, as Luke records Jesus' words, says this in the first chapter of the book of Acts, chapter or verse 8. He said, but you shall receive power or ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In order to help, we need to be empowered. Well, how can I know? How can I expect? Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 19, Paul visits a place called Ephesus. And while he's there, he meets some people. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, it goes this way. And so Acts chapter 19, verse 1 says this, and while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, he replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one who came after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. What is the first thing that we find in that particular text? One, if you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must believe in and on Jesus. The second verse says, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus the Christ? So the first criterion is, have you accepted Christ as Savior? If you haven't, you need to do that in order to be open to the working and power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Then you also need to know that you can be empowered. In fact, second verse again says, no, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. The believers in Acts 19 can sometimes be like us. If you don't know you can be empowered, you're not going to ask for it. It's kind of like, if Popeye didn't know spinach was going to make him strong, he wouldn't eat it. In fact, let's face it, who would eat canned spinach for any other reason? Come on, can I get a witness? What I'm saying to you is that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And number two, you need to understand that it's available to you. Then number three, like they did, you then need to make the decision that you're going to be empowered. What the Bible tells us that they went, on hearing this, the fifth and sixth verse, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I just have to tell you, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have a lot of background in church. I got saved while I was working at General Motors. Some of you already hear me talk about that. And I came into work that day for the Bible study and said, I prayed the prayer at the back of that chick track. They said, well, now you need the Holy Ghost. I'm like, I didn't even hear that there was a Holy Ghost. It's like Acts 19. I have no idea what you're talking about. We need to pray that God would fill you with the Holy Ghost. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll empower you. And I went, nah, never mind. No, I didn't. That's what a lot of people do, though. Nah, I'm good. I've gotten saved. I've given my life to Jesus. I mean, know that I need even more than just saved. I need to be Holy Ghost filled so I can be a hero, because heroes help. In order to help, I need to be empowered. So I begin, oh God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I have no idea what that means. But oh God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you, I had no frame of reference. I wasn't in an altar where they go, oh yeah, just pray. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. But like you, how many in this room can give me a witness? Then I'm like, I began to pray, and the Spirit of God was poured out of my life, and I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave me utterance. Can I get it? Come on, is anybody? If that's not you, friend, I urge you, I implore you, I challenge you to take a look at the New Testament and begin to go, you know what? This is available, and because you know it's available, you decide that you are going to be empowered. Letter R. This is just really critical to me because of the culture that we live in. Heroes are reliable. Let's face it, you can't be a hero if you never show up. Heroes are reliable. That it means to be able to be trusted to do what is expected or has been promised. Can I just tell you, I love your pastor, and him and I have been friends for years, and so when he asked me to speak, I've been like, God, would you please help me? Help us to be able to carry out this service in such a way that we are deemed reliable, that he doesn't have to think about. I'm just telling you, I've pastored for almost 40 years. I'm here to tell you, when you're gone, like, is everything going to be all right? Somebody going to turn on the air conditioning? Oh, what's going to happen? I'm like, God, would you help us be so reliable? Help me, God, to be so reliable. Come on. Are you out there? Help me to be so reliable. I used to keep my kids growing up. I would say to them, like, I'm just here to tell you, if you just show up to work, you're going to get promoted. Because most people don't even show up. I know a lot of people that are business owners, people are managers. Here to tell you, we live in a culture where people are just unreliable. That's what you are. Unreliable. Sorry. That comes from years of ministry. I'm sorry. I go, God, I don't want that to describe me. I want to be reliable. I want God to be able to count on me. I want my brothers and sisters to be able to count on me. I want them to go, you know what? If Pastor Tom said he's going to do it, bless God, he'll either be here or he'll be dead. Just telling you, I just think it's just critical that we are people who can be trusted, people who are reliable. Some of you guys came to church this morning. You came here and you figured, well, you know what? I know that Holly and Pastor Joy are probably going to be out there. They're going to have water for me. I'm pretty sure that when I walk in the building, there's going to be an usher standing over there. I'm pretty sure that there will even be toilet paper when I go to the bathroom. Some of you ought to be going, amen. Why? Because those people are reliable. You knew that Pastor BK and his team were going to lead us into the presence of God. Why? Because they're reliable. And that ought to describe us, to be reliable. In fact, the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 19, he says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot out of joint. Anybody here had a bad tooth? How many of you say, that's how I want to be described? Come on, you ever rolled your ankle? Man, that's what the proverb writer is saying. When you can't, in fact, maybe you've heard somebody talking about all the stuff they're going to do. Like, I'm going to do this. And you're thinking, blah, 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 blah. Because you know that they're not reliable. Can I just say that ought not to be our description? Everyone ought to say amen. That should not be us. In fact, if that's you, let me just encourage you. Stop making excuses for yourself and own it. It's a sin. I don't like you very much. That's all right, Pastor. We'll be back next week. Just here to say, we ought to be people who are reliable, people who can be counted on. In fact, some of you are going to be familiar with this. It might be a little bit different because it's the Message Bible. But the 15th Psalm says it this way. God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? Anybody here want to go to God's place for dinner? He says, who gets on the guest list? Walk straight. Man, I've been in Jeremiah and Ezekiel lately. I'm going, how in the world can people read the Bible and think that, oh, I can just live however I want. God is okay. Anyway. Walk straight, act right, tell the truth. Don't hurt your friend. Don't blame your neighbor. Despise the despicable. Keep your word even when it costs you. Make an honest living. Never take a bribe. You'll never get blacklisted if you live like this. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 13 and 14. Again, the Message Bible says, reliable friends do what they say, and they are are like cold drinks in sweltering heat. And we have had some hot weather. What's he saying? I want to be a cold drink. To be a hero, I've got to be reliable. He said, I'm going to be a cold drink on a sweltering day, like billowing clouds that bring no rain, is the person who talks big but never produces. So many of you guys are already like a cold drink on a sweltering day because you're already involved. You already go, man, this dude is like, he's frying the bacon, as missionary Steve Pennington used to say, he's frying the bacon and shucking the corn today. Some of you guys are just way too young for knowing what's going on here. Be reliable. So to be a hero means a hero help. A hero is empowered, and a hero is reliable. Last one, heroes are observant. Because you have to be able to see. In fact, it blows my mind sometimes. You know, you're walking through the sanctuary. There's paper on the floor. I didn't see that. You got to be observant. You got to be able to see the need. You got to be able to be paying attention. In fact, observant means paying such careful attention that little or nothing is unnoticed. How can I just tell you? How many are thankful that God is observant? Man, his eye is watching you and I. In fact, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him. Wow. I want my heart to be, because he's reliable. He is always there. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21 says this, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Psalm chapter 14, verse 4, the New Living Translation says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth." Psalm 34, verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." And I'd be like, thank God. He is watching over me. He's observant. He's paying attention. And that's who we, and how we ought to be, because needs are out there. In fact, observant to needs is what, in fact, anybody remember? Help, help, help. Some of you are not Underdog fans. But Sweet Polly Purebred would get into trouble. And she would say, help, help, help. An Underdog's ear would go, help, help, help. Because he was in tune. He was paying attention. You know, it's like a Batman when he sees the bat symbol over Gotham City. You know, recognizing that we're observant. God, help me to be observant on the line when I'm at work, when I'm making a sandwich, at Subway, when I'm, whatever it is I'm doing, and however, God, would you help me be observant? Maybe I'm walking through the parking lot, and I'm walking through, I've just finished at Home Depot, and there's an individual with this big, big thing on their cart, and you go, hey, can I help you load that? Some of you go, well, I couldn't do that because, you know, you should do that. Heroes help. Heroes are observant. They pay attention. They notice. They notice. In that fact, that's part of the reason why we have ministries like Kid City. That's why there's Rev Youth Ministry. That's why that we have Young at Heart. Because we're observant to the element that there's a need. Kids need Jesus. People who are teens need a connection point where they can keep their faith energized. People who are a little older need to have just some friendship and fellowship and be encouraged in faith. I'm observant. These are things that we recognize that we need, and then realizing that we have to be a part of that. In fact, Paul says to the people in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. And as Christians, in fact, sometimes I know that you're here and many of you are like, you're incredibly happy to be able to connect. But sometimes it just amazes me sometimes that people are going to be in a group and they're like fellowshipping together and a new family will come through or a new person will walk in and they're like, I didn't even know they're there. Observant to the fact that, hey, that's somebody's brand new. How can I encourage them? Hey, Brighton AG is a rocking place. You ought to come back. Come and sit with me today. Hey, man, I'm glad you're here. Nod your head. At least pretend like you know. Okay. I used to, back in the old days, I used to say, you know, because you used to have those bobbin head dogs. Remember that? I used to live in Shiawassee County. It was always like, recognizing that we need to be observant. You need to be observant to how we can meet needs. In fact, Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 were on their way to the temple during the hour of prayer. And what happens? The lame man is begging. What does Peter say? He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter's like, there's a need. I can recognize that. We can be a part of making a difference. And we realize that God is faithful to perform the things that he has said. And I want to invite the worship team to come back as we close this morning. Because God just want you to recognize it's not hard to be a hero. We should realize that God wants us to make a difference because as he writes to the people at Ephesus, we need to be imitators of God. As dear children, be a hero. A hero is someone who helps. And in order to be able to help, I really need to be empowered to make a difference. Heroes are reliable and then they're observant to the needs around them. Would you pray with me this morning? God, in the name of Jesus, I believe that whether individuals are watching online or they're here in this sanctuary this morning, I believe that your word, God, brings a challenge to our hearts. It doesn't return void. It speaks to us. Perhaps there are individuals in this room, God, watching online, who, one, need to make a decision to follow Christ, to give their lives to you. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you. It's very simple. All you need to do is respond to the voice of the Spirit is bringing conviction to your life in the moment, and just say, Jesus, I need you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. I confess you as my Savior and Lord. I believe that you died and rose again for me. If you'll do that this morning and make a decision to ask him to forgive you of sin, become your Lord and help him help you live for him, he'll come into your life and change you. And if that's you this morning, you've done that, would you just either send us a message if you're watching online, or maybe speak to me after the service this morning. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we take a moment to reflect on the call to be a hero. And I believe, God, that you'll help us